Inside Speedway is brought to you by P1 Australia and by Speedway Classics Magazine, on sale now. From the dirt tracks across Australia, welcome to Inside Speedway with Dennis Newman and Craig Revell.
Well, joining us here on Inside Speedway is Gavin Migro, and Gavin is the manager of Speedway Racing at the Perth Motorplex at Kwinana. And great news for Speedway fans in the West, you guys are up and running. How much, Gavin, is up and running just like any other year?
Look, obviously we're coming out of a, and look, and thank you very much for the opportunity, Craig, but we're coming off a very challenging period for not only sports and motorsports, and Speedway in particular, but that's obviously our first love, but certainly for life in general. So perhaps the new normal is what we're going to be experiencing. But, you know, we're really, really excited. We've obviously had a pretty tumultuous time throughout this winter months, but we're sort of back in the game now. And we opened last Saturday night with a bang, and, you know, having the Shannon's Power Palooza, which is, it's one of my favourite little events. It's my baby, I guess, that I wanted to bring Speedway, drag racing and burnouts together all on one show, which is probably a unique, you know, world only or world first type event. And we've been doing it for 4 years now, and each year it keeps growing. So really excited by it. We had a huge crowd, you know, over sort of 7,000 people that were in the house. Record opening night Speedway competitor numbers. And you know, in the most remote capital city in the world, we're pretty excited by what we're getting the opportunity to do right now.
The obvious thing is that Western Australia has been able to weather the COVID crisis over the off season, though. And I'm not sure, did you get affected going into the end of last season with your calendar?
Yes, we did. The last two events we couldn't run when COVID, because obviously the state went into a hard lockdown. Obviously our premier and the state government felt like it was important to go into you know, state of emergency, I guess. And as it turns out, it's probably been the right decision. The tough thing for all of us was that we for all the staff here we worked up until the end of May, and then there was sort of obviously no guarantees on what we were going to be able to do, so unemployment came for all of us, which was really, really tough for a 3 month period. And you know, we've all gone through a fairly tough time financially and in our own personal lives, but also with our passion of Speedway and other things that the motorsport, as a motorsport venue, the Motorplex is, you know, drag racing and burnouts. And we obviously all had to take that time away, and we couldn't do anything. Obviously, there was no events being hosted. So, you know, with that in mind, once they gave us the call back, we came back on the 1st of September. And in a nutshell, we had, I guess, 5 months worth of work to do in 2 months to get us up and running. And thankfully, it's not our first rodeo, the team that we have here. So we've been able to, you know, get cracking fairly quickly. I mean, unfortunately, some of the staff weren't able to come back. But the majority of the people, the key people, did come back, and we've, you know, also got some new people as well. So, you know, we're really excited by the future. I mean, obviously, there's still a bit of, I'll use the word uncertainty, but there's obviously the government is still looking to find a new operator for the venue. They do apparently have somebody on site or with an MOU to sort of get going, but at the moment that hasn't taken. Hasn't come to fruition. So at the moment, we're still in a holding pattern operating under the venue's West umbrella, which look after 13 stadiums here in Perth, including the beautiful world-class, or probably no better world-class stadium in Opera Stadium that we have, and HBF Park and HBF Stadium, and there's a whole heap of stadiums that they look after. So we're under their umbrella right now, and you know, we do enjoy being there, but it's just, you know, we're just hoping that we can keep the juggernaut rolling. And that is the Perth Motorplex, obviously coming into our 21st season.
And you have been there right from the start. How big a difference is the Motorplex operating under government of the Western Australian government as compared to under the operation of a private promoter?
Look, it's clearly different. I mean, it's more about trying to obviously speedway and motor racing does things a certain way, and government tend to not perhaps understand those types of processes. So there's a fair amount of education, from both sides, because we obviously need to be educated in processes that the government uses. So, from our perspective, we certainly like being under the umbrella. It's just a matter of that. Whilst there's probably frustration on both sides, if you want to call, but we are, I guess at the end of the day, the people who write the checks makes the rules, so we have to adhere to those. But thankfully, Speedway has a good peak body in Speedway Australia, and they're very, very proactive in communicating nationally and having good public liability and risk management processes and stuff like that. So those sorts of things are very, very important for our sport, and I think every year Speedway Australia is certainly getting better, that it helps governments invest in venues, because it gives them some confidence that there's checks and balances in place. So we're certainly that's probably the best way for me to explain it.
With the Powerpalooza, you had quite a mix of divisions there, as well as the burnouts, as you mentioned. But interestingly, the Speedway has got the capacity for bikes as well. And your solo racing, well, you had 5 finishes and 2 didn't start. So how do you manage such big grids?
Look, when we designed the track, I mean, obviously my father, Con Ligo, is obviously a legend of Speedway, and he was a promoter at Claremont Speedway in the first 3-odd years here at the Motorplex, and I think it was 32-odd years I think he promoted for, and we've always been bike fans, we used to have, as a young kid I had Ivan Major staying at our house, and legends of the sport, Anders Michenek, and riders of just world class that people would probably pinch themselves at. But as a kid growing up in the sport, they were your heroes. So we've always been bike fans. And when Claremont obviously was looking to close, the motorcycle racing in Australia was probably on the downturn in a sense, because promoters and tracks around the nation had probably moved to a more car centric type. Shows, for better or for worse, some people will say it's not as good, but we felt that, that if we built a good car track and then built a motorcycle track on the inside, that would benefit the sport and continue to run. Now, as it turned out, the bike fraternity didn't like that, but I'm still believe it's still the right thing to do, because the riders are safer. There's the 22 metre car wide car track that's width, so 22 metres away before there's any wall, and then you've got a bike track that's probably 400 metres around on the pole line, 15 metres wide in the corners and 12 in the straightaways, and you've got a big gap before there's any fence or any sort of significant risk, that as risky as motorcycle speedway can be. So we when we designed that, we had Ivan Major say, look, make sure the track's big enough so you've got the speed, because people were used to the speed at Claremont, so make sure you do that. So we did that, but obviously we couldn't get the bike fraternity to buy into what we were doing, but I'm sort of a little bit pig-headed, and I still love motorcycle speedway, and I went to the when it was at Marvel Stadium, the Speedway Grand Prix, and I've been to the UK and watched the Speedway motorcycle racing, and I still felt like there was really a need in Perth, and the the local speedway club here, a motorcycle speedway club, which is north of Perth at Pinjar towards Wanneroo, or just above Wanneroo, they built a purpose-built speedway track, and a really good friend of mine became their president, and we said, look, we can help you by our promotional skills. We can get guys to come and race at our place, hopefully, and then they'll draw the fans to you. So we did that, and clearly has worked. And despite what some of the the haters, I guess, continue to roll out some of the stuff that they do. And they talk about, oh, the track's too far away. But every Speedway Grand Prix that you watch in a temporary stadium has 22 metres blacked out, you know, away from the spectators, you know, it was for safety reasons. So this is no different, you know, and bike racing's great. Our schedules are really strong, good cars. You know, we had sprint cars, late model speed cars on the night. There was 27 sprint cars nominated, 22 late models, 17 speed cars and 7 solos. And we had flat track motocross bikes as well, because that's another futuristic thing that we're trying to push and plug. So I think it's really important.
Yeah, and I was going to say, with Pinjarra Park and the Motorplex, it means competitors get to have a lot more diversity than just running around the same track every couple of weeks.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're only 40 minutes away from each other, so it sort of works out well. The club worked well with us now that, you know, obviously my friend Marshall was their president, and he sort of gave them the understanding that if we actually work together, if you run against us, we're going to win every time. Believe it or not, we will win, because we've got such strong marketing capacity. But what we're not there to try and suppress them. We're there to help them. And I mean, like I said, I love bikes, and if we're not on, which thankfully we're not, they've rescheduled their stuff to suit the off weeks that we're on. I'm quite often sitting on the hill there just being a fan, and you know, they've still got a long way to go with some of their organisation, but they're slowly getting there, and the riders will get an opportunity. And like you said, if they've got other tracks to racing, encourages investment, so that'll get participants up and about.
And particularly having a three-time world champion know the area like the back of his hand, he also has been a real counterpoint for promoting speedway bikes over in the West.
Absolutely. I mean, Ty Wolfenden, he's a great guy. He's a real character. And, you know, we actually were lucky enough to get Ty to come here last year. And he said, when we talked about it, because he's kind of my good mate Marshall, who was the president of the bike club, was his really one of his best buddies. And so that's how we sort of tied it all in. And we said, look, would Ty run on our track? You know, we obviously had the John Day Classic, because it was a, you know, historic, nostalgic sort of event. And he said he'd love to. And so we had Ty racing on that night. We had, you know, like obviously a three times world champion. We had Kerry Matson, who was a World of Outlaws sprint car racer. And we had the USAC midget champion, the New Zealand midget champion, and the Australian midget champion all on the same night. And there's, you know, what I'm proud of is that a bit of old school promotion, and there's you're not going to see that anywhere in the world ever, to get that opportunity to hosting, you know, three big classes of racing all on the same night. And the crowd that we had, they certainly bought into it. So there's the more things change, the more they stay the same, is the way we say.
Now, you mentioned you had a great crowd for opening night. Are you operating under any restrictions with the crowd size and venue capacity?
No, we're not actually. We buy a very small amount, but not enough to really for us to be too fearful of where we're at. We had a very slight reduction, but the reason was that our venue, because it's so large and so spread out, that we can actually have the venue's licensed for 15,000, and I think our capacity was at about, you know, as it was about 14,000, so it didn't really have any issue. However, the inside areas like our corporate boxes were reduced to about 50%. You know, the gold seated area was, you know, rows that we had to segregate, but everywhere else was okay, other than we just encouraged social distancing. We went through a whole COVID, you know, we had to all staff had to do hygiene officers courses. All our officials had to do a hygiene course for COVID, you know, by the Australian Hotels Association, you know, including the announcers, the security, everybody had to do that so they understood what their responsibility is in keeping this dreaded thing away and doing their best. And we've got hygiene stations throughout the venue that we made up during the last couple of months of us coming into our new season. We made them and placed them like in many places around the venue, so there's nowhere you couldn't really look. Even on our infield, we've got hygiene stations where guys can, you know, after they've had their run or whatever, they can, you know, hygiene their hands, so or sanitize their hands. So it's important that we continue to do that. And like I said, perhaps it's the new normal is what we're going to have to do from now on.
Yeah, indeed. And your next up is the King of Wings, the 39th running of that event.
Yeah, absolutely. We're the nominations closed last night, and we're really, really happy with the system that we have in nominations, because we're a week and a half away from the event. So they closed midnight the Wednesday before and prior to. And so we already know that we've got there's 100 racing teams have entered for Saturday the 14th. At this stage, there's 25 410 sprint cars. We've got 25 limited sprint cars as well, so we're going to have 50 sprint cars in the pits. And there's 25 Formula 500s as well, and 20 odd late models plus a demolition derby. So it's shaping up to be an absolute ripper. And you know, we've got a great sponsor over here in Scarterfield Smash Repairs that look after a number of the teams. But he just loves that event, and he can bring his guests along to it and really enjoy it. And it's always a ripper. We do a 40 lap sprint car feature race with a pit stop. Obviously, our track is quite large, so the guys won't actually do 40 laps non-stop, believe it or not, because they run out of gas. But we do a pit stop in the middle at some stage after about lap 12 to give them an opportunity to tweak the cars. They can change tyres, but they go to the back of the bus. So it's a really cool race. And it'll also be another one of our televised events on 7 Mate for our Night Thunder program. And for people listening to your show, Craig, this Sunday on 7 Mate, our first Powerpalooza event will be shown on 7 Mate at 3 p.m. this Sunday nationally. So, we're really, really proud of that relationship we have with Channel 7. And for them to give us the opportunity to showcase Speedway on 7 Mate. So I think we've got about 6 or 7 shows this year that they're going to televise, and obviously opening night was one of them, and then the next one will be the King of Wings, and then into the John Day Classic and the WA Sprint Car title all on the same night, and then we move into our Speed Week. So, yeah, really, really cool stuff happening over here, and it is a world-class venue, but it deserves to have that status when you consider how good it is and what the racing that it puts on.
And, of course, you've got a relationship for live streaming, so people from all around the world can, watch it as it happens.
Absolutely. Dirt Vision's been an absolute breath of fresh air for us. They do a fabulous job. I mean, obviously the connection with the World of Outlaws gives us, the amount of people and races that are, World of Outlaw guys that tweet saying that they hope to one day get to race here at the Perth Motorplex is makes us clearly very proud. But they with just by them watching the racing and then them tweeting about it and or tweeting about the race that's going on or their Facebook or Instagram on how good the racing is. So that's something we're really proud of. I mean, my track guy is a young guy by the name of Mikey Rimmer, and he's 25, 26 years of age, doing a track like this that is equal to, anything the best of the best will be getting dished up throughout the world. So really proud to have a young team with us. And, that's one of the things that perhaps our sport doesn't or hasn't done very well with over the years is getting young people involved. And, my event administrator, I've got an administrator that works in the office, he's only 21 as well. And but I just want to give them all that information that we can possibly do, because I think it's our role is, I mean, if there is a legacy, your legacy is how you leave the sport, realistically, and how you can, pass on your knowledge. And I think that's really, really important. And I don't think a lot of that happens. But thankfully, I had a pretty good teacher in my father, Con. Being a Speedway Hall of Famer and a legendary promoter from probably the golden era of Speedway, but it's to have that information and the stuff, the people that he trained over the years, and the Wade Oranges and those sort of guys that have they've all been given their head start by him. I think that's what Dad has done really, really well, and I certainly want to pass that on as well.
Yeah, well, you are dragging Matt Nolte back from South Australia to be part of the team as well.
Absolutely. Nolte's brilliant. He's a great caller. And look, out of COVID, it was a pretty horrible time for him being stuck in South Australia. But he can't wait to come back and call the racing here. And once you see this TV show on the weekend, I'm sure there will be people being excited by what they're seeing in Speedway. But obviously, we're proud that it happens to be us delivering that to the world.
Well, whilst we've talked about 21 years or coming into 21 years of your life promoting the Motorplex, you had a racing career of your own, and I remember seeing you on track. So that's, I don't know if it's dating you or dating me that we talk about this, but what was your dad, to my knowledge, never did race. Con was a promoter, no, as far as I know. What was the impetus, and who was the person that actually got you in a race car?
Look, when I was 15, or 14 or 15, I all of a sudden I was playing footy, you know, the usual Aussie rules, and just so passionate about footy and love my West Coast Eagles and all that sort of stuff, and go to every game I possibly can. But when I was still playing footy, and I thought, oh, geez, I wouldn't mind racing maybe. And I went and had a look at go-karts, and I don't want to be derogatory to go-karts. I think, you know, it's clearly a great pathway. But for me, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, it was all day and all night, and, you know, it's like all, you know, all weekend and stuff like that. And whereas Speedway was, and obviously at the time, I didn't really know it completely, but, you know, my racing heroes were Johnny Fenton and Alf Barbagallo and stuff like that. And I thought, geez, I wouldn't mind maybe just wonder if I like it, you know. So we moved away. I did a bit of motocross racing, and then I decided to, you know, we went to a Bribble Lake Speedway one day. Here was a Sunday afternoon winter track, and a great pathway for racers to learn their craft. And I, Shane Murphy, who became a sprint car gun as well, the son of the great Jeff Murphy, who's still a constructor of high note in throughout the world. And they'd raced a Formula 500 that day, and they had a mechanics race. And next thing you know, I'm in his race suit and in the mechanics race, and I won the race. And I thought, geez, I wouldn't mind doing this. and there was a couple of old solo riders in that race as well. So I'd sort of come out of really not any speedway or any other than a bit of motocross and BMX. So I next thing you know, I bought a car, a Formula 500 from a guy over here by the name of Brian Mullings, who won many state titles. And I was 15 years of age, and I was doing started a mechanical apprenticeship, which I didn't finish because it wasn't really for me. But I like racing cars, I like working on race cars, but didn't like working on road cars. But so I paid, I think, $600 for my first Formula 500 without an engine, and my dad had been sponsoring a couple of solo riders with a Jawa Speedway engine, so I ended up with that. And next year, you know, I'm off and running and racing, and I did 3 years in Formula 500s. In my second year of Formula 500s, I was lucky enough I finished third in the Australian Formula 500 title at Murray Bridge in South Australia. I think the first year I raced, I did the Australian title at Newcastle in New South Wales. So I've done a little bit of travelling when I first started, and then the third year I did Alice Springs for the title, but didn't go very well at all. But by then I'd already been given a speed car ride for Kim Ledger and the Mobil 1 Road of Motion racing team as teammates with Graham Jones, and I even got to race against your dad. So that was a pretty cool thing at the Australian title in, I think it was 87, I think it was, as part of the America's Cup Festival of Sport. So, yeah, Formula 500 speed cars and then sprint cars.
Yeah, if ever there was a track suited for a Western Australian that night at Claremont, or that weekend at Claremont, it certainly was set up for the Western Australians. And that's what good promoters have done right throughout the history of Speedway, haven't it?
You always want absolutely.
But now, if my facts are correct, you also won a Western Australian 360 Sprint Car Championship. So you sold yourself short on the story.
Yeah, look, I mean, absolutely. And I love my sprint car career. I just love all motorsport, all speedway, frankly. And the sprint car stuff, you know, I won a Speed Week, the USA versus WA Speed Week. That's probably my proudest moment, because I had to work hard. I had a fairly horrible illness through that period. I developed Crohn's disease, and some listeners may or may not know what that is, but it's a bowel disease, and it's there's no cure for it, and I've still got it now, but you just learn to live with it. And I'd had an operation and had a bowel resection, which means they took a bit of bowel out, about a foot of bowel out, and I came back to racing sort of within a couple of weeks of the operation, much to my mum's disapproval, but she understood. And funnily enough, I ended up winning Speed Week against the Americans, and we had Kenny Jacobs and Randy Hannigan and Gary Wright here at that time, and so that was a really crack field of races. But your mind's a pretty powerful thing if you put it to it, and I was lucky enough to do that. And so Speed Week was the highest. I did win a 360 state title here, and funnily enough, on that I do remember the race vividly, because the first corner I think I was starting out of position five, and I went in the first corner, and I was a little bit not ambitious, but I was probably a little bit too pushy, and a car spun out in front of me, and I went with him and then spun to a stop, and I thought, oh, well, I've just blown that, so I'm going to have to go into the rear of the field. And anyway, as it turns out, I end up driving my way back through and then hit the front with a handful of laps to go. So there's nothing like winning from the back of the field. It's a pretty euphoric feeling. So, we did really, really well, but I love my racing career. I did it for 20 years. And then now I've been doing this. I think this is my 18th season as the promoter. And then I did marketing and stuff like that before. So I guess from Western Australians' point of view, or people's point of view, I think over 40-odd years, 50 years probably, there's only ever been a Migro that's promoted a speedway at the capital city track in Perth. So some may think it's good and some may think it's not so good, but we're really proud of what we've done and achieved. And look, my father was like completely and we were part of the team to actually get this venue up and running with the state government back in 2000. So still world-class and still brilliant and only getting better and creating its own history.
And one thing that some people lament is the fact that the promoters aren't as cohesive, particularly the big tracks across Australia, and the way promotions are done now has changed markedly, not just over your time in 20 years, but really over the 40 years from the way things were done. What is your take on how you guys as a collective, particularly at the capital city tracks or the marquee tracks, are working?
Look, we have there's some tracks work together. There's other tracks that probably have a professional jealousy. I think that we should all be proud of tracks if they've done a good job. It's like the Warrnambool Club, you know, the Premier Speedway Club in Warrnambool in Victoria. You know, they do a fabulous job. Their forefathers, you know, grabbing that Australia Day weekend date and sticking with it, you know, and growing the Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic to be, you know, the biggest sprint car race outside of North America, it should be something that we should be celebrating. Some promoters don't like that. I don't understand why, because if it's the old, united we stand, divided we fall. And I think if we're more unification, we'll be on the moon quicker than we probably should be. The cohesive thing is, I guess there's that professional jealousy, and there really shouldn't be. We should be continuing to work together. We work well with our tracks close by to us in Perth with Bunbury. There's a new track coming on board in Northam. It's been there for a while, but they've got a new owner, and we're certainly reached. I've already reached out to them guys and said, look, if they need a hand with anything, please sing out. We're happy to give them a hand with some tips on track preparation and on machinery that they should get. So they're not. So if we can fast track their learning curve, then I believe that we'll all benefit from that. So it's really, really important that we all stick together because we have obviously not a huge pool to draw from, and if we can draw from as much as we possibly can, we'll all be successful.
And I think that's a critical thing. The tracks that are running the huge big meetings, the Warrnambools and Perth Motorplex and Sydney Speedway, although they're in a bit of a hiatus to say the least at the moment, but you can only have those 30 great sprint cars turning up and being competitive if there is a base of people who are starting in your Formula 500s, Grand Prix midgets, in your late models or in your street sedans, street stockers, that are all got an aspiration and a pathway to get to the top. Even if they're not going to be world champions or Australian champions, there's got to be a huge base because there is such a small pinnacle.
Absolutely. I guess even with some of the promoters, with that little professional jealousy, some of the categories have that little professional jealousy as well, because they feel like perhaps that sprint cars might get the lion's share of the promotion. But I look at it differently, that I feel that when we run the majority of our events at our events at the Motorplex, I believe the big three are sprint cars, late models and speed cars, and we put them on accordingly on the majority of our shows together. So I feel it's really important to showcase that. And then this, what you would call the sportsman type categories, you know, your street stocks and stuff like that, if you can run them with them, they're on the coat strings and they'll get dragged along and up into the top of the pinnacle of the pyramid. You know, so it's really important. I mean, those classes are very, very important for you know, not only their own racing and for the tracks, for the local community, you know, because they give people something to look forward to, something to go and to do, you know. And so, you know, Speedway's perhaps been criticised for having too many classes, and that perhaps is the case. I mean, there used to be something like 120-plus classes within Speedway, and I think Speedway Australia have got that down to about 80 right now. So, you know, with 80's too many, and, you know, I guess the halcyon days, there was probably